God bless you, and welcome to Spirit and Truth Fellowship International's audio podcast. Our goal is to provide you with Bible-based teachings that will help you walk in a transforming relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you will be inspired by what you're about to hear.
It seems over the past couple months, I've really been almost hit right between the eyes with how much help I need. Not only how much help I need, but how much help we all need. I've been constantly running into situations where I've seen how much help I can give to others and how much help other people really are to me. One of the incidences happened a couple months ago when I was down at one of the big box stores and I was buying some building materials to do some work around my house. I happened to park right next to a gentleman, and when I came out of the store, I saw that he was laboring, trying to put many boxes of ceramic tile into the back of his truck. Not only ceramic tile, but mortar and a lot of heavy products. So I just asked him, I said, "Hey, can I give you a hand?" The man kind of looked at me a little suspiciously, but you know, if you know anything about loading boxes, when you've got a pickup truck, in fact, he had a camper shell on the back of it, then it's pretty hard because you have to load the box, climb up in the truck, slide the box forward. Whereas if you just have a little bit of help, it can go a long way in speeding up the process. So I helped him for a while, handing him the boxes, and then he got a cramp in his leg and we switched places. And it took about 5 minutes and we actually loaded about 1,000 pounds of ceramic tile into his truck. When we got all done, we sat and we talked briefly about it and talked about how a little bit of help can go a long way. Then another incident happened where I was at my own home, and I've got a friend who's been doing some work for me around here while I've been doing other things and traveling, and he had the need to lift some beams for a patio cover that I had wanted to be built. Well, he's certainly capable of doing all of it by himself. But as I looked out, I could see he was at the point where he was just about ready to start lifting these beams up. So I walked out and just, of course, you know, "Hey, let me help you. Let me give you a hand." Literally within about 10 minutes, we got done what probably would have taken him a couple hours had he had to do it by himself. You know, just an extra set of hands and an extra shoulder to lift something and hold something in place while the other guy, you know, nails it and just temporarily tacks it in place goes a long way. The point that I'm trying to make is that we all need help, and we need help all the time. We need help in many different ways. But the help that we need the most is spiritual help. And what I'm reminded of is that Jesus Christ promised before he left that he was going to send spiritual help. You know, if you take a minute and think about all that Jesus did and all that he said, it's got to have been an amazing time. It's hard to even imagine what it would be like to be one of his apostles or disciples walking with him, seeing all the things he's doing, all the miracles that are performing, just even sitting and listening to his knowledge and his learning. But then there had to come a time where Jesus says, "You know, guys, I've got to leave. I'm going to my Father and I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'll come back. But I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I am not going to leave you alone." I'm certainly his followers had to be just sitting there with waves of sadness thinking that Jesus is going to leave. And the frustration at how are we going to do this by ourselves? Possibly there might have even been some confusion about, you know, what was going on. Certainly they didn't understand the whole picture of his death and resurrection, even though he had told them numbers of times. But the point was that he promised he was going to send them a helper. And the good news is he did. We all know that in Acts Chapter 1 and 2 is the record of the day of Pentecost where Jesus Christ, by way of God, gave Jesus the Spirit, and it says Jesus poured out that Spirit. I mean, we are no longer orphans. In John 14:18, he said, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans." What is an orphan? As I've gone back and looked at all of the various sections of Jesus talking about the helper and the help he was going to send, the one that jumped out for me is, "I'm not going to leave you like an orphan." Well, what is an orphan? An orphan is someone who doesn't know who his parents are or her parents. They're someone who's alone in this world. And Jesus is communicating, you will not be alone. there's a problem that I see amongst a lot of the followers of Jesus Christ, amongst the body of Christ as I walk. And that problem is people are not really relying on the helper. I think it's a prevalent condition throughout the body of Christ. I'm not speaking of any particular denomination or any or group or organization. I'm talking about the spiritual temperament, the spiritual condition of the body of Christ. How many people do you know are really knowledgeable and walking mature in the Spirit, who are walking, demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit, who are walking, actively knowing that they're hearing from God, that they're speaking in tongues, interpreting boldly, bringing forth messages of prophecy and in believers' meetings and or whenever else God would tell them to speak? I'm seeing a condition in the body of Christ where people are actually not using the help that Jesus Christ died and purchased for us. People are putting up with false prophetic. People are unclear on discerning of spirits. They're not solid on the manifestations of the message of knowledge and messages of wisdom. Why? Why is this? I think there's a couple reasons. Certainly people lack knowledge. They lack proper training, or they've received improper training. But another condition is timidity and fear. And I believe that that will always derail us from walking in the promises of God. You know, as I was thinking about this subject, the thought crossed my mind. I have never, ever run into anyone who says that they're a genuine follower of Jesus Christ and then says, but I don't want to know when the Lord is speaking to me. Oh, no, not me. I don't want to hear from God. No, in fact, I hear the opposite. I hear people all the time saying, boy, I wish I knew when God was speaking to me. This is not a situation like the Israelites who come to the foot of the mountain where God is thundering and booming at the top and the people say, oh no, no, Moses, we don't want to hear from God anymore. You speak to us on his behalf. We now have spiritual access directly to the throne room of the Heavenly Father, and we can hear from him, and we should be hearing from him. And people want to hear from him. The truth is that we are in the middle of a spiritual battle, a battle that's been raging for millennia, but is now coming closer to a head. The days are getting darker, men's hearts are growing colder, that which is good is being called evil, and that which is evil is being called good. Just exactly the way that Jesus Christ said it would happen. There's wars that are increasing, there's famines, there's pestilence, and I am not, you know, getting on an end times doom and gloom. That is not my point. My point is that we need spiritual help. We need all the help we can get in order to navigate these times and in order to do the works that Jesus Christ is calling us to do. So in this teaching, we're going to take the time to take a look at Jesus Christ's promises when he was speaking of the help that he was going to send. After all, why not look at the way in which Jesus Christ contextualized the promise? Why not look at the way in which he described the way that this helper is going to help us? Then we're also going to take the time just to step back and look at the Greek word that is translated as counselor, comforter, or helper, and why we believe the term helper is the best translation of that word. We will also again look at the specific things of what Jesus Christ said the helper would do for us. And then in the last part of this teaching, we want to take a little bit of time to look at what can we do to tap into this spiritual help so that we can increase in maturity and walk in the fullness of the power that Jesus Christ died so that we could have. Well, welcome now to part one of this teaching. And in this part of the teaching, we're going to look at the specifics of Jesus' words concerning the help that he was going to send. We find this primarily in the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16. These are key sections of scriptures in which Jesus talks of the very specifics of what this promised help was going to be. Remember, Jesus knew what his followers were going to be up against. That includes us. He knew the enemy intimately, and he knew that they and us would need help. So he promised he was going to send that help. So let's go now to John chapter 14, and I want to pick up this in verse 1. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." I think of all the different times in my life where my heart has been troubled, times of trauma and times of great distress. And Jesus' words are the same now as they were then. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And how is it that our hearts would not be troubled? Right, he follows and he says, trust in God, trust also in me. He knew at that time that they were going to be troubled, just like every parent knows that a child is going to be troubled, especially when there's some separation, when the parent has to leave for the first time. The child has to learn that it's going to be okay. And the way they do that is by trusting. It's a lesson in trust that the parent will leave and that the child will be okay because the parent always returns. And that gives the child safety and comfort. And Jesus' first words to his disciples, his apostles, is basically, I'm leaving, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. That's the same thing we need to do now when our hearts are troubled. Let's jump over now to verse 16. Again, we're in John 14, and I'm going to read from verse 16 and on. And here it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Remember, they already had Holy Spirit on them. And now Jesus is saying, but I'm going to give you another counselor. I'm reading from the NIV, and here the word that we're going to be looking at is translated as counselor. He goes on in verse 17, though. He says, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. At that time, Holy Spirit was on them, and he is telling them it's going to be in you. And then in verse 18, the verse I had already read in the beginning of this teaching, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Again, that promise, you can trust me, I'm going to leave, but I'm coming back. I want to take a little bit of time and focus on this word, which here in the NIV is translated as counselor. When we look at various versions of the Bible, it's been translated as comforter, counselor, helper. The word that I'm looking at specifically in the Greek is the word parakletos, and what it actually means is to be called to one side, especially like an aide. It was used many times in the sense of a legal defense, a legal assistant, an advocate, if you would, like one who would plead your case or who would maybe make intercession for you before the tribunal or the judge. It has a broader meaning, though, than just a legal sense. And so it can be a helper, a succor, an aide, an assistant. Now, we have chosen at Spirit and Truth Fellowship International to specifically translate it as helper. The King James translates it as comforter. The New American Standard, the translators, they translate it as helper. John Shainhite and others, in putting together the Revised English Version, our REV, have chosen the word helper. And the reason is because we believe it's the best way in which this word can properly come over into English. The reason is because if I need counsel, then the helper would be a counselor to me. But the form of help is counsel, but it's still help. Or if I'm in a situation where I need comfort, then the type of aid or assistance that the helper would give, the parakletos would provide for us, in that instance would be comfort. But it's still help. No matter what my situation is, it's the type of help that may change, but it's always help. Now let's go jump over to Luke. And at the end of Luke in chapter 24, I want to look at verses 46 and 49, because this is the helper that Jesus Christ promised, but he said his Father had also promised it. He says in verse 46, he told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. One of the things that happens, that this, when we receive this powerful gift that God by way of Jesus Christ gives to us. We are clothed. We are completely filled. I love the sense that, you know, when I just think of the gift of Holy Spirit, it's like, you know, that's a powerful truth in and of itself. But when I think of this as a spiritual helper that is basically permeates every pore of my body, it floods every cell. I am completely, completely, absolutely filled to the top of Holy Spirit. I can't get any more. And it's just, I am clothed with power from on high. Also in Acts 1, 4 through 5, Jesus was continuing and he says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, again, this is in his resurrected body, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with Holy Spirit. This is the Parakletos, the helper that Jesus Christ was promising that would come. But he said his Father had promised it. Now, for many years, I used to think that that the gift of Holy Spirit was the sacred secret, which Paul speaks of in Ephesians and Romans and in other New Testament epistles. But it actually, the gift itself is not the sacred secret. The reason we know that is because Jesus is saying here, my Father has promised it. Well, where did the Father promise this? Let's go to Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Well, this is available to every man and woman who confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who believes God's raised him from the dead. God pours his spirit out on all people, both men and women. Also in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 through 5, it says, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Now clearly, that is a millennial promise. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. They always understood that there was going to be a time when God would pour out his spirit on all mankind, that they would, just as he was going to pour out the water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground, that there would usher in a millennial kingdom. So they understood that there was going to be a time where Holy Spirit was going to come. And after all, it's, you know, this is what Peter stands up and prophesies on the day of Pentecost about. And even referring, you know, referencing Old Testament, if I'm not mistaken, he references Joel. But what was not known was that they would get, or that we would get, because we're part of the they in this administration of grace, that it would come now. It was always understood there would be spirit in the millennial kingdom. The part of this that's so earth-shaking is we get the fullness of the spirit now. You know, this sacred secret, which Paul speaks of in Romans, I believe 11, verse 25, I think says not ignorant of the sacred secret. In Romans chapter 16, it says a secret hidden in past ages, but now it's made known. And then in Ephesians, it talks about how in chapters 1 and chapter 3, how God has made this sacred secret known to the apostle Paul and to other apostles and prophets. So what is that sacred secret? Well, the sacred secret is the church of the one body. Jews and Gentiles are joint heirs. The secure permanence of salvation that would happen. I mean, they understood there would be a permanence of salvation or that they would receive the Spirit in the millennial kingdom and it couldn't be lost. But they never understood that it would happen now. That when Jesus left, that this helper that they would get would be the future spirit now. So each believer, they never understood that they would literally be born of the Spirit. But that Spirit has been poured out. We have been given the absolute most, it's the best gift. There's no better gift that could have been given. This age of the sacred secret, I like to think of it as if, you know, God had an Excel spreadsheet. I happen to be an administrator, and I've worked around people who are very proficient in that one Microsoft program. It's called Excel. And it has vertical columns. And these vertical columns, you can put all the numbers and computations. But if you want to add a column, then what you do is you basically an insert column. That's exactly what God did. God inserted a column in between the time when Jesus Christ was here and the millennial kingdom, and it's called the Age of Grace, or the administration of the sacred secret. It's an Excel insert column trick that God did. And that's what we've got. And I love thinking about this gift of Holy Spirit as the helper. I mean, what better way to contextualize it than the way that Jesus Christ described it? It's huge. I think there's too many times. I mean, we just don't get our head wrapped around all that this gift is and what it can do for us. Let's go back to John chapter 7. In verse 39, the verse says, "By this he, Jesus, meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." I mean, this was kind of hard to understand. What do you mean the Spirit had not been given? Abraham had the Spirit. Joseph had the Spirit. Moses. Look at Moses and the power that Moses walked with. David clearly had the Spirit. And you're saying here, the Apostle John by revelation is saying, up till that time, the Spirit had not been given. Prophets like Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha. I mean, the Spirit had not been given. The Spirit we get is so different, so much bigger than what they had, that God can literally say, up to that time, the Spirit had not been given. Well, what are some of the differences between the Spirit that they had in the Old Testament and the Spirit that we had? Well, I already mentioned that we're born of the Spirit versus they had it upon them, but they also had it conditionally, whereas now it's given unconditionally. Anybody who believes receives the gift of Spirit, whereas in the Old Testament, only a few had it. They received it in limited measure. We receive it without measure, completely filled with it. They received it conditionally, were permanently sealed. That even when they had the Spirit, it did not mean they had direct access to God, to the throne room in the sense, because the mediator hadn't come yet. The mediator, Jesus Christ. I like to think of Jesus Christ as the great transformer. Certainly he transforms men and women's lives, but it's almost like in the Old Testament, people could not know God. If I have my cell phone and I need my cell phone to be charged, well, down the street from me is a huge power plant, and you know, it's a huge distribution center. If I took my little cell phone and I walked over there and I plugged it into one of those huge electrical devices, my cell phone would just burn right up. It would explode. Why? Too much power. It needs to be converted down to the proper voltage and amperage that will charge my phone. That's what Jesus Christ is. He is the transformer, the converter between us and God. And how does that happen? It happens with the helper, the Parakletos that we have. We now have direct access to the mediator, the transformer, the converter, Jesus Christ, who has direct access to the throne of God, sitting at the right hand of God. In the Old Testament, they had seven manifestations. We have nine. My heart is grieved at how we discount those two extra manifestations, speaking in tongues and tongues with interpretation. I'm grieved at the people that just don't manifest. My goodness, this is huge. We can speak the praises of God, the wonderful works of God, bring glory to God, and yet people say, well, I don't really want to speak in tongues. I don't mean to belittle anyone, and I'm not speaking with contempt for anyone who doesn't speak in tongues, but my goodness, Jesus Christ has poured this out. This is a powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There is a direct link between the Spirit and the mind that is strengthened when we speak in tongues. We want to hear from God. We want to see the power of God in our lives, but we don't want to do what God has given to us by way of Jesus Christ with this helper. I think we need to grow up and we need to mature and we need to pursue this with everything that we've got. Well, in order to gain some better insights in what this helper is supposed to do, how the helper is supposed to help, we need to take the time to just go back and look at the words of Jesus Christ, where he spoke of the help he was going to send, and we get a true sense of the attributes of the helper. So I'm going to switch in this teaching now, and we're going to step back and look at the characteristics or the attributes of the helper, the way that Jesus Christ described it. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, we've already read it, but I want to read it one more time and focus on a different part of that verse. Verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." We all know now that that should be the word helper, to be with you forever. So there's a sense of the permanency of the salvation, the permanence of the gift. Verse 17, "The Spirit of Truth." The helper is the Spirit of Truth. It only speaks what is truth. It therefore is always reliable and it is always trustworthy. The phrase Spirit of Truth is used in another record. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus Christ said, "But when he," speaking of the helper, "the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." When we break this down, we see that it's a Spirit of Truth. It guides us in truth, and it doesn't speak on its own. Well, if it's not speaking on its own, then what is it speaking? Well, it's speaking. It's basically almost like it would be a speaker where Jesus Christ speaks and it repeats. So what you're hearing, we know that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth. It is the Spirit of Truth. And we have got to learn to increase our ability to discern that voice of the Spirit, because it always speaks what is true. It will guide us in truth. It doesn't speak on its own. And in the end of 16, John 16, verse 13, it says, "It will tell us of things to come." So there is a sense that the Spirit will tell us when we need to know of future things coming or things that are coming our way. It will give us a warning. It can help us develop foresight. It will also teach us and bring things to our remembrance. Going back to John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the counselor," the helper, or again, the word parakletos, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." Well, if the Spirit, the helper, reminds us, then to remember means that we have to do the work initially to put Jesus Christ's words up into our brain so that there's something to remind us of. You can't remember something that you don't know in the first place. So to me, it emphasizes a need for us to have our head in the words of Jesus Christ, to be clear on what he said, the teachings that he gave, the things he said that we should do and should not do, and that Spirit will bring things to our remembrance. I know of a specific instance a number of years ago where I was dealing with a very troubling matter, and I remember praying, speaking in tongues about it, seeking guidance, and I clearly got, the answer I got was verses which came right to my mind. There have been a number of times where sections of Scripture have immediately come back to my thinking, or in dealing in other situations where it's almost as if the Scripture is right there, and that's the exact answer. That is the helper helping us in those situations. I'm sure you've experienced that too. Another thing that Jesus said is that the Spirit would be in you. We've already read that, but in John 14, 17, he goes on, he says, "The Spirit of the Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him." So again, we know that there's a separation between when we receive that Spirit and the world. We are no longer, you know, of the world. We're in it, but not of it. And there's a great truth to that. You know, we could launch off in an entire teaching of how we need to make sure that we keep in our minds separated from the world. The devil has a huge scheme out there called the aeon or the atmosphere. atmosphere of the age. It's the entire environment, and everything all the time is attempting to seduce us, to desensitize to his evil and his plans. I am amazed that when I don't watch TV and then come back and do watch a few shows, the things that just come at us. And so we need to make sure that we remember that the world doesn't accept this. It's a spiritual reality, and we are separate. And too many times Christians are compromised because they just do not maintain a separateness from the world. They begin to actually think the ways of the world. Now remember, the wisdom of God is higher than the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom that comes from above is peaceable and good and pure. But that which is of the earth is devilish. And the devil is constantly trying to seduce us. And we need the help of the Spirit to discern these things as we're walking through life and being bombarded with these things. And he also goes on in John 14:17, and he says, "But you know him, he lives with you and will be in you." So make no mistake that Jesus Christ promised that the Spirit would be in us, and we also know that reality from the epistles too. Another attribute of the helper is it enables us to do the works of Christ, and not only that, to do greater works. Jesus said in John 14:12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith," I like the word trust there because it's the Greek word pistis, and if you've listened to our teachings, you know that faith always tends to bring about some kind of a metaphysical kind of belief in that which for which there's no proof. That's the modern definition of faith. If you go take your Webster's and look it up, that's really not what this word is. He's saying anyone who trusts in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater works than these because I go to the Father. Well, what were the works that Jesus was doing? Well, that's easy. I mean, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cleansed lepers, he drove out demons. In fact, Matthew 10:7 lists those things specifically. He says, "Freely you've received, freely give." There's an expectation from Jesus Christ that we can be who he was wherever we go. We represent him as ambassadors, as the word actually is a legate. It's someone who has legal power and authority to speak on behalf of the ruler. And that's what we have. Now, don't go off, and I am not saying that, you know, we can, by our own will, go raise the dead and do all of these works. That's not what the context is. And in fact, we're going to go look at that. But the fact is, Jesus did say that with the help of the helper, we would heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. And not only would we do those works, we would be able to do even greater works. Let's look at John 14:12-15. In verse 12, he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith, trust in me, will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater works." We've just read this. Now, verse 13, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name." When there's a sense of Jesus is saying, "I am in the Father is in me, I will be in you, you will be in me," what he's saying there is we are in union with each other. We are of the same purpose. In other words, having the same mind, same purpose. We're working towards the same goals. We are lined up with God's plans and God's purposes. And he says, "Anything you ask in my name," you know, there is the sense of in union with Jesus Christ, "so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." All of this is always all about bringing glory and praise to God the Father. "You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it." Verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." John chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, identify three powerful truths that we must have if we are going to do the works of Jesus Christ and even greater works. And we just looked at this, but specifically he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith, trust in me." So the first one is you have to be trusting in Jesus Christ. Then the next one is in verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey me." The things that must be present are trust, love, and obedience. In fact, there's a formula in this that basically trust plus love equals obedience. Jesus Christ says over and over in chapters 14, 15, and 16, it's inseparable that if you love him, you will obey him. It says in verse 21 of chapter 14, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. And then he goes on in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. We cannot say we love Jesus Christ if we do not obey him. What are the things he says to do? Well, one of the most important things he says is to forgive one another. I know people who are walking around with tremendous unforgiveness, and then they have pride about the fact that they don't have unforgiveness. I mean, this is just so elementary. If we're going to do the works of Jesus Christ, if we're going to rely on the help of the Helper, the Parakletos, this gift of Holy Spirit he's given us, we have got to have trust, love, and that love has to be demonstrated by obedience. There's no way to get around it. You're not going to be able to do the spiritual works that Christ needs you to do if you don't have trust, love, and obedience. Jesus Christ also said that another characteristic of the Holy Spirit was that it was always going to bring glory to Christ and to the Father. John chapter 16, 14 says, he, speaking of the gift, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So many times I hear people say, I just wish I knew what Jesus wanted me to do. Jesus is up there. I just picture him. You know, I'm in my mind, I just picture him up there standing there. Are you kidding me? I'm trying to make myself known to you. Trust me, love me, obey me, and you will know me. In fact, in John chapter 14, he says, after verse 21, where he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. How does Jesus Christ show himself to us? Through revelation, through messages of knowledge and messages of wisdom. When we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we always bring glory to Jesus Christ, and that brings glory to the Father. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. In verses 6 through 11, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it says, when they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they said, are not these men who are speaking Galileans? And then later in the record, it says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. I mean, we take this so lightly. I'm not speaking with contempt, and I'm not speaking trying to belittle anyone. But I think that people just do not have in their minds the greatness of what it means to be able to speak in tongues. We should be speaking in tongues all day long, silently in our minds, wherever we are. As I have gotten more in touch with this gift as a helper, which Jesus Christ has provided for me, I want all the help I can get. I mean, maybe I'm different. I don't really think I am. But I hear people talking all the time about how they want help from God and they want help from Jesus Christ. And my goodness, we have it. How much more help can he give us? We need to be speaking in tongues and doing the things he says. And while I'm on the subject of speaking in tongues, I don't think people really get how that when we speak in tongues, clearly we're speaking supernaturally. You know, those words are just flowing. They're not something we make up. Whatever is happening in our mind, there is a link between the spirit and the physical in our mind that's occurring. There has to be, because I am physically speaking. I'm moving my tongue, my lips. Elescente costonto pariasante tasende gendia sono tosne. That's me. I spoke in tongues. And when I do that, I don't know what I'm going to say, but Jesus Christ is pouring that language out, and it's making the connection between my spirit and my brain. It's strengthening that mind-spirit connection. And I have to have that strengthened for me to, the next step is if I do that and then I bring forth an interpretation, I've gone just, it's easy to speak in tongues. I don't even have to be concerned with what I'm saying. But now all of a sudden I do it in English and I speak in tongues and followed with an interpretation, I'm training my brain again to rely upon the Spirit, to bring forth words that I am not precognating, I'm not pre-thinking, I'm not trying to come up with a message and then bring that out. The Spirit that God has given to me, that Jesus Christ has poured out, that fills every cell of my brain, somehow that Spirit-mind connection is being strengthened, and I am deliberately developing the habit of that spirit brain connection. And as I do that, I mature. And now I progress to just bringing forth prophetic words. Words that there's no tongues, there's no interpretation. Now I just speak in my language, in English. See, Jesus Christ, even in Matthew 10, I saw a new insight in this. Matthew 10, verse 26 through 27. He says, "So do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." I believe Jesus Christ is speaking about the revelation that he is going to be giving. You know, there's nothing concealed that's not going to be disclosed. Well, Jesus Christ demonstrated that. Remember how he was sitting with the woman at the well? And all of a sudden he starts speaking about all the men she's been with and her marital status. Perfectly made known to him. God revealed it. Jesus Christ saw it. He spoke it. He will do the same for us. I want to be more effective in my ability to minister people. So many times I receive someone who wants to talk on the phone or someone in the fellowship who needs to talk. They come up with a problem. Oh my goodness, I have no answer. It's like, I'm complimented that you would come to me and that you would think that I might have the answer. But I mean, some of these things, frankly, I don't have the training. I don't have the skill. I don't have the answer. But Jesus Christ does. And as I speak and as I love on that person and as I try to walk in trust and obedience, the answer is there. So many times people would walk away and say, "Wow, that was profound. Don't, you know, thank the Lord Jesus Christ for that one, because that, you know, I spoke it in faith and obedience and with my love for you and for the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's what Jesus is saying. Nothing concealed, you know, won't be disclosed, or hidden that won't be made known. You know, we don't have to worry about these things anymore. I talk about help. I mean, how many times have we been in situations where you just don't know what to do? Now, don't mistake me and hear that I'm not saying that we, you know, don't need wisdom. We absolutely do. In fact, I believe that there's a profound truth that's always been captured in that saying, you do your best and God will do the rest. But what Jesus Christ is promising is, guys, you're not going to be alone. You're not going to be an orphan. You're going to be in situations, and don't be concerned if you don't know what to do, because there's nothing that's concealed that won't be disclosed. There's nothing hidden that won't be known. And how is this going to happen? Well, he goes on in the next and he says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. In other words, what I speak privately to you, you broadcast it, you make it known. What's whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Isn't that a powerful truth? Remember the record of Elijah, and after Jezebel threatens to take his life, he runs off into the desert, and after 40 days and 40 nights and a period of an angel even ministering to him, and he gets to the mountain of God and all the earthquakes and the thunder and the lightning. And then there's a still small voice and God speaks to Elijah. That's that same voice that he uses to speak to us. But I'm never going to be able to hear a whisper if my mind is so occupied with noise. I think the devil's done a masterful job at trying to distract us. People are walking all the time with those little earbuds plugged into their phones or iPods or music devices, and their brains are constantly being saturated with noise. You know, I've fallen into that habit at times too, where the minute I get into my vehicle, I've got to have the radio on. Or if I'm in the house, the TV's on in the background. We've got to get comfortable with silence. So it's the only way that you can hear a whisper. If I'm whispering to you, you know, especially I've become sensitive to this. I'm 60 years old now. I go to a restaurant. I don't enjoy noisy restaurants because it's hard for me to focus on the conversation of the person sitting across the table talking to me when all of this ambient background noise is drowning out what they're saying. You know, I've got to lean forward, or I got to say, speak up, or cup my ear to hear. It's the exact same thing in the spiritual realm. You cannot fill your life with noise and confusion and distractions and then hear the whisper. You know, when you speak in tongues, you develop and strengthen that spirit-mind connection. But we've also got to do our part so that we're tuned into the Spirit. And when it whispers, we hear it. You know, Jesus also promised, it's like, don't worry about if you don't know what to say. In Matthew 10, verses 19 through 20, he says, but when they arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's just like speaking in tongues. You know, that's the Spirit of our Father speaking through us. In the same way, he's saying, don't worry about what you're going to say. You don't have to pre-think all this stuff. Because, you know, half the time, you know, well, yeah, we try to think through what we're going to say. But actually, there's many times where you just don't know what to say. It takes spiritual perception and, you know, developing that spiritual discernment. That's what happened with Paul in Acts chapter 23. He's pulled before the Sanhedrin. This is when he went to Jerusalem. He's been arrested. You know, the whole crowd is trying to kill him. The Roman centurion comes and they take him and they bring him in. And then, you know, next day they bring him and they put him before the Sanhedrin. And Sanhedrin are the 70 ruling elders of Israel. In verse 6 of chapter 23, it says, then Paul, knowing, it's actually the word, I believe it's gnosko, and it's other translations have translated as perceiving. Knowing is a good translation in one sense because he knew it, but you know, there's a deeper meaning here. And let me finish reading the whole record and I'll explain myself. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, my brothers, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. You know, I think on one level, absolutely, Paul knew that the Sanhedrin was comprised of Pharisees and Sadducees. But I think there's a greater truth here that Jesus Christ is bringing to remembrance the specific thing that Paul could say, should say, that would bring resolution to his situation in that moment. It's Jesus via the gift of the Holy Spirit, the helper, that's reminding Paul. Remember, Jesus says the Spirit or the helper, the Parakletos, will bring things into remembrance. It will guide you in all truth. Just as I said with Jesus and the woman in the well, he perceived the specific thing to say to her. And as a result of that, you know, it opened up the entire town of Samaria, up there in Samaria where he was. Remember the situation with the woman and the issue of blood? This woman who's suffered for years and years and has had a bleeding condition, and she goes and she touches the hem of his garment. Literally, you know, the message in the Old Testament, there would be healing in his wings, and the wings stood for the little tassels on the edge of his garment. Well, she's healed, but Jesus Christ turns and he perceives. Same spirit. You know, it's the gift of Holy Spirit that was, you know, was that Jesus perceived that through. You know, we have the gift of Holy Spirit. We have a more full spirit than Jesus had. But my point in this is, what was it? Why was Jesus so concerned? You know, who touched me? I mean, she's healed. Who cares? Jesus did not want that woman to go away feeling that she had stolen the blessing. So he said, woman, your faith, your trust has made you whole. How much comfort was that for her? But his perception of the situation and the healing that went out from him, all part of this package of spirit that he had. Remember his words, the works I do, you will do, you shall do, and greater works than these. Well, two of the greater works are speaking in tongues and interpretation, because Jesus Christ never did that. So don't tell me that's not greater. It is greater. But they're also, in addition to speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, There's the I like to rehearse the manifestations, as we call it, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the order in which they're listed in Corinthians. A message of knowledge, a message of wisdom. We no longer define them as a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, because it's more than just a word. Actually, properly translated as a message of knowledge. It almost is like downloaded. There's certain times where it's like you get a whole sense. And that comes through seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, a sense of knowing, sometimes a spiritual emotion that may dwell up. There's a spiritual seeing, you know, seeing things that you don't see with your eyes, yet you perceive, you see, you hear things. There's a sense of an acoustic, you know, audible revelation that can be given to you. All of these things, that's the helper. Boy, we've got to learn to rely more on that. Also, we have the manifestation of faith or trust, which allows you to believe to do the impossible at your command according to what's been revealed to you. There's the gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits. And as I said, we do our best, God will do the rest. We've got to walk with wisdom. We can't sit there and then just lay back and recline in the lazy boy and then think that God's going to take care of it, because after all, he's given us the helper. So, you know, we just need to rely on that. No, you know, go back and look at some of our other teachings. We have in Spirit and Truth, we've taught on the wise, the wicked, and the fool, and what it means to walk in wisdom. We've got teachings on wisdom. We've got a teaching on prudence and how that involves to be circumspect and have foresight, and this requires us to discipline ourselves. So we have to walk with wisdom, but we've got to also do our best to rely on the help of the helper. In John chapter 15, Jesus Christ says in verse 26, "When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father," in the NIV it's he, it should be translated it, "will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." I think one of the most powerful things that this gift of Holy Spirit does is it helps us to testify to Jesus Christ. It can show us the spiritual condition of men and women. Jesus Christ is heavily invested in bringing the entire world, every person, every man, every woman and child, he is highly invested in bringing them into love and obedience and trust in him. He will show us the condition of men and women hearts. He will speak to us of their needs. He will show us what we can say. He will give us the words. He will speak to us in the dark so that we can proclaim it on the rooftops. He will show us that which is concealed, and he will reveal it to us so that we can bring glory to him and glory to the Father. We can demonstrate his works by relying on the help of the helper. Just as a recap, remember that this helper, this paracletos that Jesus Christ has given to us, is with us forever. The promise was that the Spirit would be poured out in the millennial kingdom and that it would be permanent and people would have it forever. The greatness of the sacred secret is we have it now, and it will guide us in truth. It does not speak on its own. It only speaks what Jesus Christ says to it. You want to improve your ability to hear the Spirit, to discern the voice of Jesus Christ, then eliminate the background noise from your head, speak in tongues much, get spiritually in tune, develop that mind-spirit connection, and you will increase in your discerning ability to hear the voice of the Lord in your life. The Helper will also tell us of things to come. It can give us a heads up before things even happen. I remember of a situation, I just thought of this years ago, a good friend of mine driving down the highway outside of San Francisco, heading into Marin County, a very windy patch of road. And she saw a vision in her mind in an instant of something covering her windshield. And she also saw her hand turning on the windshield wiper. It wasn't but seconds later, a huge piece of cardboard flew up and landed on the windshield of her car. She didn't even have to think about it. She knew immediately to turn the windshield wiper, and it blew this huge piece of cardboard right off the front window of her car. Had that cardboard stayed on her car, it could have been a tremendous calamity. It could have even resulted in her death. I'm talking of traveling at 65 miles an hour on extremely curvy roads with drop-offs on the side. But she knew what to do because the helper had helped her and told her of things to come. I'm sure you've experienced that. Jesus Christ is wanting to do that for us all the time because it will help him to bring about God's plans and purposes. Just as the Apostle Paul had things brought to his remembrance, things can be brought to our remembrance by the help of the helper. Remember, it gives us supernaturally abilities to do the works of Christ. We've got to speak in tongues much, step out and boldly learn to interpret, to prophesy, to do miracles, and be clear on messages of knowledge and wisdom, and know that we do not have to be spiritually blind because he has even given us the ability to discern spirits. The helper is all about bringing glory to God, and it will help us testify about Jesus Christ. That's why we have the helper. Let's learn to rely on it.
The teaching you just heard was a presentation of Spirit and Truth Fellowship International. For further study, we encourage you to visit our research website, truthortradition.com. If you would like to get your copy of this teaching on CD or tape, you can go online at our home website, stfonline.org/store, or call us toll-free at 888-255-6189. Again, that's 888-255-6189. God bless you.